I've led this workshop a few times in the past, but as I have led this in the past, it's been pretty well oriented toward students that are coming out of a student ministry and then matriculating or whatever into the marketplace. As I have thought about this, and you'll see here that a lot of the orientation is in that regard. But the older I've gotten, and the more experience that I've gained through the years, you know, that's all life is just transitions. We're transitioning from one thing to the other, and so I'm going to try to just play this by ear, and we'll see where the Lord takes us in that regard, because I just looking at the participants here can tell that there are different areas of interest and different areas of need, but I'll guarantee you that the fundamentals are all the same and the principles are all the same. So with that in mind, I guess that's our air conditioning unit making that noise. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'd like to just get to know a little bit about you and who you are and just why you're here. That will be very helful to me as I attempt to lead this workshop. So let's just have a word of prayer and commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just commit this time to you. And Lord, we all come with our own set of needs and concerns and the desire, dear Lord, to know, Lord, how you would help us to transition from wherever it is that we are today into wherever it is, dear Lord, that you might be taking us. So God, we just want to commit this time to you and just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would lead and that you would meet the needs of every person in this room. We commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I already know Doug, but in fact, let me just tell you just a little bit, if I may, about who I am, just so you know what you're dealing with here. My name is John Brock. I have been through a number of transitions in my life. Right now, I am, and for the last nearly 10 years, I've been the executive director for a state agency here in Oklahoma. I came into this job through Governor Frank Keating, and executive director for the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission. We have about 750 to 800 employees, an operating budget of about $40 million a year, about $500 million a year flows through the agency. We have about 40 offices around the state. And prior to that, I was with Halliburton. That's regardless of what you hear in the news, that's a good company. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the politics and so forth of the day have gotten involved, and Dick Cheney having been involved with Halliburton, you know, and all that sort of thing. But that's a good company. And I had worked for them all over the mid-continent. I started out as a field engineer with the company, driving a truck, learned all the equipment, everything that the company did. I was in executive sales, became the domestic sales manager. I was the director of marketing. I went back into operations, lived in Paris, France, and I was over the operations for Southern Europe and West Africa, 29 years with the company. Came to Christ when I was 28 years old. I was working for Halliburton. And I'm thankful for a group of men that took me under their wing, and I was discipled by one man in particular in Wichita, Kansas. And we were part of a community ministry up there with the Navigators for about 5 years. And then the Lord led us from one place to the other, transitions. But a lot of the principles of the call that God had on my life back then and for the last 35 years has been consistent to where we are today. Married my wife Lonnie. She's in another workshop at this time, and we have two daughters, and one living in Nashville, and the other one's in Pensacola. Both happily married, wonderful Christian young ladies. We have five grandchildren. So, why are you here, Doug?
I'm just this past week started a new job in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've been in 2001. I took early retirement from Texas Instruments. I've been with TI for 21 years. Took early retirement, and without going into a lot of details, discovered that I needed to get back into the semiconductor industry. And so for actually about 3.5 years, I've been doing job search. And I just now got this job. And so I'm transitioning into a different state, to Albuquerque, New Mexico. New job, new friends, new ministry, on a whole, everything is just like the whole slate is clean and we're starting all over.
And we've agonized with Doug through this time. There's been a lot of pain associated with this too, hasn't there? Yeah. So he's been through the ringer, and it's about time you get some rest and get a chance to work at the ministry. That's great, in addition to what you've been doing. Brad? Yeah.
Well, as you said, we're always in the midst of some transition. And I guess part of the reason it's significant to me is I went through a layoff a year and a half ago in Texas, and same similar situation. I mean, 2 years ago, I never would have believed you if I'd known I was living here in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. But did manage to find a position here in town and took it, and then bought a house and had our second child 3 weeks after that. And so that was a big transition. We're still coming out the other end of it, to tell you the truth. And so just kind of intrigued by the process.
Amen. Dallas?
Dallas Gandy. This is my home church. I'm in the insurance industry. I went through a layoff about a year ago. Been in third-party administration for about 30 years. Landed with my major competitor, and while in the past year, it seems like in the very beginning, you know, people have seen things and just kept coming to me with different questions, and been able to share and connect and minister a little bit, so just trying to get a better feel for when those doors open.
Great. How about you, sir?
Well, I kind of worked myself most of the time. I raised cattle and I had rental property, so I usually do most of my work on this road or doing more personal help. And the rental business has been pretty bad, so I've been about going back to work, and I just thought this might be helpful in that area, going back to where there's people.
Yeah. Okay. You, sir?
I'm Blake Sinovia. I'm not in any kind of transition. I'm always looking, open to find different ways to share the gospel with people.
You bet.
As people share, I like to pick up ideas and new kinds of things, and just try to improve the way I do things in ministry.
Amen. Chuck?
I'm on staff at the Navigators down at OU, and we work with students from mainland China. And I just think it's really important for me to learn more and more how a student goes from, if you're in student ministry, it's just really different than being in a marketplace.
Yes.
So I want to learn how to help them make that transition.
Okay, good. Renee?
I think for me, it's things that I'm working, and I always want to know the people. They are Christian, but they work. So I want to know how their life there, how they deal with the things. I'm really interested in that thing.
Okay.
So everything related, like a Christian conference, everything related to work, I said, okay, I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm there, so I think this will help. And I went to one of your workshop. That really helped me. I said, okay, I need to go back to
you. Well, I'm glad to have you back.
I'm Shanti. I've just been to Stillwater in August. And so it's like a complete change from home and back here.
Uh-huh.
From Raven and back. And that's the reason I also want to know, like, people whoever you go about with or something, how can you affect them? Like, what changes in them can you see and what changes can you actually bring about in them?
Okay. Amen.
I'm here because I'm a junior at OU, and so I'm getting into my major classes of journalism, and so just curious about moving on from here to the next life and continuing
mm-hmm.
on in the things that I should be.
That's great.
My name is Wood Borden, and I'm from just moved to Oklahoma City from Stillwater, and ever since I was a sophomore in college, I began noticing that all my friends who really did well in college spiritually didn't do so well after they graduated and are really nominal at anything now. And it really is a heart burden for me. And so I guess I've just been always, it's not only now having words for it, but just long haul.
Yes.
For the long haul.
Yes.
And without taking breaks. And,
yes.
Being in a transition myself, you know, 3 years into the workplace and just a new job and everything, which I'm really enjoying, learning it for myself. I'm in a place where I can live it out and passing it on to friends that I'm working with, dearest friends. I want to see them do well and be used of God.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Brad, besides keeping a track on me here, what are you doing in here?
Well, I'm a geologist with oil and gas.
Uh-huh.
More in my spare time, it seems, lately. But I'm really interested in hearing, really, from John, from your perspective, from Halliburton to new career, to from Duncan to new location,
yeah.
And then, too, how the transition for some of these guys from college to workforce
That's right.
is a pretty big transition.
Yes.
It's a big change.
Yes, it is.
This is on part-time scripture, remembering the tools that we, you know, out here. Is that practical for you as a business person?
Amen. Thank you. Steve?
No, I'm Steve Wilson, and I'm kind of just in the middle of a transition right now myself. You know, my job's been that sometimes in between and seeking the Lord's direction just for really, you know, persevering through that kind of tough time.
There you go. That's right. Thank you.
My name's Dave Mercer, and I am on my sixth year of college at OSU, and will be done in May, and don't have a clue as to what's going to come after that.
What are you getting your degree in?
Biosystems Ag Engineering.
Biosystems Ag Engineering.
We get
okay.
a lot of guys going with Halliburton.
Yeah.
They seem to like our department, so.
Oh, I'm telling you.
But
great folks.
Unless somebody hires me for grad school, I guess I'll get swept into the current of the real world and go let money flow the other way for a few years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, maybe I'll get some good ideas about how to do that today.
Good.
Yeah. I'm Casey Zavodny. I'm a first-year MBA student at Oklahoma State, and I'm working part-time at the Department of Commerce in Oklahoma City.
What are you doing at Commerce?
I'm in marketing and communications.
Okay.
Department. I was
yeah.
a journalist undergrad.
Well, good. Yes, sir.
My name is Randall Gibman. I'll be graduating at OSU this year, Management Information Systems. Kind of came here hoping to get an idea of how the transition kind of happens, like you mentioned before.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, get some ideas and how to. Like, it's really easy. It's like a dreamland sometimes when you're in college because it's just everything's so accessible when you're there. And like, there's always a Bible study group, and there's always like
That's right.
somebody there trying to help you out with that. And practice. So whenever you actually have to move away to a new town and start over and stuff, it's just really nice to get some pointers on how to work things out.
Good. Good. You, sir.
Hi, my name is Ashok. I'm from OSU. I'm a last year graduate student in MSAS. And this is my last semester, so I'm kind of moving on. So Lord just led me to this workshop.
Okay.
I decided which workshop to go this afternoon, and I flipped the pages and saw John's name there. I saw the topic then, and it's quite appropriate. So
praise the Lord. Great. Great. Yes, sir.
This is my wife, Beth, and I'm Mark Ford. And thankfully, we're not in a transition. But
you will be. That's right.
But we decided to just step into your class.
Well, good.
Certainly always open to have to share what you know with
you
others in the workplace.
Do you have children at home?
Nope.
Okay. So really, in a sense, that's a transition too. Yeah, yeah, from the longer perspective. Yeah. Well, great, great. You know, a lot of differences, but a lot of similarities as well. Just to set this in perspective, Colossians 1:9 in the J.B. Phillips, it says that we are asking God that you may see things as it were from His point of view. If we could look at life, look at our life, in this brief span of time that we have here on this earth, if we could look at it from God's point of view, and that's one of the things I want to try to facilitate and help you to accomplish. Let me ask you a question. I remember a fellow asked me this years ago, and it's one of the most penetrating questions that I've ever been asked. And it's this, that how are you planning to invest the rest of your life that it will have the greatest impact for Jesus Christ? How are you planning to invest the rest of your life that it will have the greatest impact for Jesus Christ? I want you to just soak on that just for a minute, and I'd like for two or three of you to respond to that. How are you planning to invest the rest of your life that it will have the greatest impact for Jesus Christ? Anybody have an answer to that question that comes to your... Yes, sir?
Have my quiet time tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's like, was it St. Francis or... one of those that said, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do? And he says, I think I'd plant a tree. You know? Dallas, you're
good. The obvious recognition that making disciples and winning souls for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's what we're all doing.
You bet. You bet. Someone else? Because I think same principles, same fundamentals here. You can't do it without that vital, intimate relationship with Christ.
But you can plan it, but actual life may come different. So you say that planning just then?
Yeah, life happens, doesn't it? Well, how are you? Yes, planning to invest. I mean, that's a good question, and that's very insightful. Beg your pardon?
Said as much as it lies within you.
Yes. That's right.
I think one thing that I realize, and this is something I think when I realize that walking with Jesus Christ really and being disciples is more caught than taught, that as much as it relied upon me, I was going to spend as much time with people who were doing it as I could. That meant moving to the same city that they're in or whatever. Because there will come a time in God's time when that will not be possible.
Uh-huh.
And that's... I just want to be around the people who are doing it until God breaks me off.
Uh-huh. Good. 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 A number of years ago, I was challenged to think through and commit to a life objective. And if you don't have one, there's a multitude of ways of expressing this. But I'll just share one with you that my objective is to know Jesus Christ in my own life in ever-increasing depth and to make disciples and develop laborers at all times, under any condition, in every place I go. Dave, you'll notice there that the first thing is to know Jesus Christ in my own life in ever-increasing depth. You notice the verses that that comes from. Anybody here know Philippians 3:10? I'm going to get you all to quote every one of these verses. So, Philippians 3:10.
I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering.
You betcha. You betcha. And how do I get to know Him? You know, it's through that intimate, personal relationship. It's through time. It's through His growing in me and my growing in Him. John 15:8. Who knows that? Be very fruitful as a result. And that's as a result of that abiding relationship, that intimate knowledge, that intimate relationship. John 15:16. How does that go? It says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." We've been ordained by Jesus Christ to go and to be fruitful. You might know Matthew 9:36-38. It's about laborers.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion because they were harassed and downcast, and he found his shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask for the harvest, and the workers
are few." That's right. That's right. I've memorized that in the King James, which refers to laborers. Your version says workers. But that the harvest is plenteous, but what we need are more laborers in order to reach that harvest. And then does anyone know Colossians 1:28-29, the J.B. Phillips? Brad?
So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet and teach everyone we can all that we know about Him, so that if possible, we may bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ. This is what I am working at all the time with all the things.
Amen. Amen. That's right. I think that old boy's got it. That's good. I'll tell you what a joy it is to my heart. Brad is my great-grandson in the Lord, fourth generation. To hear that, you know, and to see what's on his heart, folks, that's what it's all about. This, you know, I appreciate what you said about this like an Amway meeting. Let me tell you, friend, this is bigger than Amway. You know, I've heard Amway, they present the multiplication principle, you know, and all that sort of thing. Boy, that's Jesus Christ's principle. That's the blueprint that He left for us to reach the world. And you know, we can have an impact on the world for Jesus Christ in our lifetime. That's incredible. But it's true. And not necessarily by addition. Yes, addition. People come our way and we never turn down the opportunity to help them and to introduce them to Christ and so on. But the opportunity to raise up disciples and develop laborers that can go into the harvest field, wherever they may happen to be, no matter what country they may happen to be, and that their lives will be productive and fruitful. That's, as someone said to me 35 years ago, "John, that's big enough to give your life to." And friends, it is. I tell you today, that's big enough to give your life to. I don't care what your age is. For those of you that are just starting, you know, you're just on the threshold of moving into the marketplace or wherever it is that God would lead you to invest your life in men and women and help them get to the point that they can go on and invest their lives in others. That is big enough to give your life to. And I believe that's what's really on God's heart. I really do. Colossians 1:9, I said, you know, we're asking God that you may see things as it were from His point of view. I really believe that's what's on God's heart, is seeing people come to Himself. Just as we look at these different transitions of life, perhaps I sense that you all can identify with, you know, spring, for example, that there's the preparation and the training, and the tutoring. That's life's boot camp. It's school, it's apprenticeship, establishing patterns and habits that will set the direction of your life. And that's what a lot of you now are emerging from. And you're getting ready to move from late spring into summer, where that your major interests will be chosen, and there'll be further development, and there'll be cultivation. And then that's quite an extended period of time. But then comes autumn, where that, you know, we begin to secure our holdings. It's harvest time. That life may be beginning to close in a little bit. There's the preservation of fruits of what has been accomplished. And then as we transition on into winter, the stage of realizing the fruits of life already lived, and there's much enjoyment in helping others to succeed. I have attempted to try to express this graphically, and I'm not just real pleased with the way this comes across, but it might help in a way to make the point. You see the pen? But I've thought about different transitions that we go through in life. And I tried to make this from the standpoint of, say, a wheel. A lot of us navigator-related folks are familiar with a wheel. And with Christ the center, and I apologize for my artwork here. I hope you'll follow the basic idea. But this one, let's say, would be like a single individual. And the way I've approached this, it's from the standpoint that the spokes would be like, say, family, profession, ministry, and then other. And by other, I mean involvement in the community. It can be recreation. It can be, as I said, community involvement, whatever. But even there, relating that very easily can relate back to the ministry. But for a young person, let's say right now that's single, family, parents, brothers and sisters, and so forth. There can be a lot of other, a lot of time for recreation and doing a lot of different things. And for a lot of you too that are coming out of a ministry, let's say like at the BSU or Navigator Ministry at OU or OSU or whatever, you know, a lot of time to spend on these activities, and you really haven't had to devote time to a profession yet. But now, let's say this would be a single. But now, a lot of you in this room are getting ready to go over here to, and I'm going to assume that I realize you're single now, but if you will, just permit me to go ahead and assume that there will be a husband and wife and children and so forth that will be coming into this relationship. Brad, that's for you too, brother. That's right. That's my wife's one goal in life, is to get Brad married. We're still looking for a woman worthy of him here. So, but let's. This would be like a young married person. And I tell you, you know, in fact, in Deuteronomy, it talks about a man that's just gotten married. You know, if you've just gotten married and they're going to war, the advice is stay home for a year. Take care of that wife. Build that relationship at home and then go. and devote yourself to the war. Now, and this is one of the frustrations that I've observed over the years with a lot of folks, like a lot of you and younger people in this room, that have come out of these very intense collegiate or military type ministries, is it that all of a sudden now they have other issues, other things that are competing for that time. And what I would suggest is, and I'm using the width of these spokes to illustrate the time that you're able to really devote to them, okay, just for the sake of illustration. But I'm proposing it might be something like this for you. This would be your ministry. And here you are, you're starting out now in say, a new job. And you're having to get up to speed in your profession with what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. And it might be something like this. And two, you may not just have much time to devote to recreation and to do a lot of the things that you did in the past. This would be a young married. I'm not going to draw all these, but I think you're seeing my point here. Now, what happens now when you add small children to this? You know, it beg your pardon? Now, all of a sudden, this boat can get it can really get over here, can it? And you know, the pressure and the stress of all this, and what I've seen happen. When we lived in Duncan, Oklahoma for 20 some odd years, and the Lord developed a strong team ministry down there. And we had a lot of young people that would come to work for Halliburton in research or different things that had come out of different collegiate or military ministries. And a lot of them, this was a very difficult time for them in being able to make that transition. Because all of a sudden, where they had been on like a four-year cycle. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That let's take it from the standpoint of a collegiate ministry. Wick, you've been involved with one for years and still are. How would you describe what you try to do in the at the very best you're going to get 4 years with these individuals? Kind of how does that cycle go? Can you walk us through that?
Well, working with, as the physicists would say, assume a spiritual student. Mm-hmm. Assume a hypothetical student.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you want to help people get to know Jesus Christ, sure, salvation based on their faith, that they begin to experience the unconditional elements of a relationship with God, help them get equipped to relate to people on their own, to quiet time, to memory, fellowship, hearing the word, reading the word, and exposing to the principles. And then when he's been fed enough, and he's having exposure to that, then there's a period of time where you're starting to expose him to maybe the cost of discipleship, what it's going to take to go on, some of the conditional promises of God, that if you give your life to this, he's going to honor that with this. And you know, that takes some time. Sometimes a little difficult to swallow. That usually rises out of boyfriend-girlfriend conflicts, family balance, because now Jesus wants to spoke.
Yes.
Which before, you know, so there's a transition there from it was just school and family and recreation, and now it's school, family, recreation, and Jesus. So they get their first taste of that. And then as time goes on, they begin understanding some discipleship, giving their lives to others, addressing character issues in their lives, deeper areas of obedience, heart attitudes. And then begin, say, okay, God's will for marriage, profession, work, family. Just hopefully by the time you get to the end of the 4 years, you've probably gotten through a tenth of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like this. You don't have a lot of time. It is compressed. But now all of a sudden, it's like they fall out here into this community. And there are other entities now competing for their time. Now they all of a sudden maybe, you know, they do have a profession. They have possibly a wife or a husband and so on. And I have seen individuals that was really, really hard for them. And in some cases, I remember one couple in particular that they just couldn't make that transition. They had to move back to a college town where they could continue on with the same approach that they had been taught. But I want to tell you something. If you can make that transition, and most do, it's the greatest, most exciting thing that you've ever seen. Because all of a sudden, you have more time. You have more time. What did you say? Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, when my wife and I came out of the military ministry into the community, as it were, like I said, we were bombarded with so many more competitive, you know, demands. But all of a sudden, you know, when we were at a, you know, a pace like this, all of a sudden that had to flatten out.
Yes.
And we had so much time on our hands, and now all of a sudden we're dealing with time management like we'd never had before. Because before, it was kind of regimented. Well, you got to be here, you got to be here, you got to be here, and everything was sort of scheduled out.
Yes.
Because of that environment that we were in. But now we needed to move beyond that, and now we had to take responsibility for our own time,
yes,
our priorities. And that was, as I recall and look back, that was the toughest thing for us,
mm-hmm,
was that time management and sorting out our new priorities and balancing all that.
Yes.
That was tough.
Yes. Yes. But now, it's slower,
mm-hmm,
but it's deeper. You know, you have time to invest in family relationships. You know, I'm just a little asides along the way here as I work through this. I think about that, you know, my brother-in-law and other family members, that my own mother, in seeing her come to Christ, and seeing my mother at the age of 70 start hiding God's word in her heart, and at 73 becoming a Sunday school teacher in our church there in Duncan, and just the wonderful things that I saw happen to in her and other family members. I remember the first time that God gave me the privilege of introducing someone to Christ. I was working for Halliburton up in Wichita, and I was calling on this fellow that was a drilling contractor. And as we were talking there about business, somehow, as only the Lord can do, and you know what I'm talking about here if you've experienced this, you know, all of a sudden, this guy, there's a need here. And we just kind of push against the door, you know, and it opens a little bit and a little bit more. And the next thing you know, this guy is ready. I said, "Do you mind if I close your door?" And no, I closed his door. I said, "Is there any good reason why you can't accept Christ right now?" And no. And I mean, he prayed and was gloriously saved right there in his office. And I was sharing this with some men that I knew would be thrilled to hear this, so kind of the team of guys. And my spiritual grandfather, Jim Morris, he said, "John," he said, "let me tell you something about Jay." He said, "I shared the gospel of John, or I shared the gospel with Jay on a rig in western Kansas 20 years ago. And I've been praying for him ever since." You know, and God used his spiritual grandson to lead this guy to the Lord. You know, there's more time, you know, in building relationships and getting to know your neighbors and so on. And I'm just thinking, like, as far as the world is concerned, you know, that in the places that the Lord moved us over the years, you know, God can use a big old company to get you wherever he wants you to be. And just to be ready and to be open. I look at people that, French nationals that were in my office there in France, that in Paris, that came to know the Lord. I found, they can say all they want to about France and the French and all the rest of it, and I found that sharing the gospel with these people is like shooting fish in a barrel. you know, they're open. They don't have a lot of the preconceived notions that a lot of folks do here, you know, in the Bible Belt and so forth. But it's just as God prepares hearts and so forth. Now, see, doesn't that go back to the Great Commission? Somebody mentioned the Great Commission a while ago, you know, which says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations and so on. I don't know Greek, but I understand in the Greek that literally means as you're going. As you're going, make disciples. Like the black preacher said, well, being as you're going anyhow, make disciples. You know, and that as God moves us through life and through transitions, that's why I want to help particularly you young people to see this. It's all the same. It's all the same. You never, Dave, you never outgrow the need for a quiet time. The principles that he was talking about, that Wick was talking about, they apply everywhere. Everywhere you go, every culture that you go into, the principles are all the same. And that's why we want to emphasize principles and not necessarily methodology. We can get hung up on a method. We might be like our friends that they can't acclimate to the community environment and they have to go back to a collegiate or military or something where they can do the ministry the way they have been trained. My proclivity is toward emphasizing principles, the principle of the Word of God in the heart, the principle of personal relationship and daily time with the Lord, the principle of Bible study, the principle of evangelism, the principle of one-on-one discipleship and so forth. Anybody have any questions or comments at this point? Okay. I like to think about Joseph. And just if we maintain the perspective that he had, you know, that here Joseph, jerked up, sold into slavery by his brothers, and he ended up over there in Egypt. And he was, first of all, sold to Potiphar and had problems there. You know, Potiphar's wife had she had eyes for Joseph, and Joseph ran from her, got away from that situation. She falsely accused him of trying to have a relationship with her, and he ended up in prison. You remember that? And but God blessed him while he was in prison. In fact, he literally, they just about turned it over to him while he was in there. And he interpreted some dreams for a couple of the king's staff that were in prison. You remember that? And how that ultimately he ended up being the number two man to Pharaoh himself. That's incredible. But you know, as I look at this, and it just helps me, remember Colossians 1:9, we're asking God that you may see things as it were from His point of view, from God's point of view. And look what Joseph said here when he finally revealed himself to his brothers and how that they had come to Egypt because there was a drought in Israel. And because of the wisdom of Joseph and God's leading him to do this, they had the food and so forth that Israel needed. And so they came there for help. But then when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and boy, they were just embarrassed. Can't you imagine? You know, they're the ones that had sold him into slavery and all thought he was dead and so forth. And just a couple of, in Genesis 45:5. He says, and now Joseph says, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God did this. And verse 7, it says, but God sent me ahead of you. Boy, he used a pretty rough way of doing it. But I just, it helps me to think of Joseph in Potiphar's household as a prisoner or a slave or in the prison and so forth. Surely he had this perspective. He was still looking to God. God, you're in control. I'm trusting you. God sent me ahead of you. And verse 8, so then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. And then he goes on, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. And so on. But that's the perspective. That's what we want to keep. Does anyone know Psalm 75, 6, and 7?
King James.
That's the one I want. Because it's got the word I'm looking for.
For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is a judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another.
Psalm you hear that?
6 and 7.
Amen. Promotion. Promotion doesn't come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. He puts down one and sets up another. And He's the one that will get you wherever you need to be in order to be faithful to the Lord. Paul's example. Be patient. Be patient. Who knows Psalm 1, 2, and 3? Psalm 1, 2, and 3.
He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Now, he shall be like a tree, right? Keep going.
He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper.
That's right. That's looking at a person as a tree, that he will bring forth his fruit in his season. And he'll have that abiding relationship, and that fruit will be the result of that, but he will bring forth his fruit in his season. And I've seen that in the years that I've walked with the Lord. It's not based upon some methodology or whatever. There are just times it seems like that you're just more fruitful than others. Have you had that experience, Chuck?
Yeah.
So just be patient. Just trust in the Lord. And I want to tell you something, too. It's almost funny to think about this. You know, you have this apple tree, and if you could walk up there to this limb, and you could say to this limb, how did you produce such a good apple, such a pretty apple? And its only response could really be, I didn't do it. I'm just abiding in this tree. I'm just stuck to this tree, and this tree produced this apple through me. But think how silly it would be to see that limb grunting and straining, trying to produce a better apple. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? It can't, because it doesn't have life. It doesn't have the relationship. And I tell you, I've tried to do that. I sure have. I've tried to, and it's better to produce fruit in season. I can assure you, it's a lot less frustrating. In Ephesians, Acts 20, 31, this is Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. They're at Miletus, and this is the last time that he is ever going to see them. And he says, therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, he was there 3 years, for the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. You know, here Paul had the mandate from Jesus Christ himself to go to the Gentile world with the gospel. And you think about that, to me, that just emphasizes once again this power of multiplication. Because if I didn't know that, and Jesus, I would just be running around like a man telling everybody their house is on fire. But the real vision, I believe, is when you can go one place and invest in that place for 3 years and raise them up to where they can go on with the ministry, and then you can go on and go someplace else. That's the power of this multiplication. You'll see the same thing in Acts 18:11, that Paul was there for a year and a half, 18 months. And you'll see it in 1 Thessalonians, in the New English Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Paul tells them there, after he's talked about how fruitful their ministry is and how it's multiplied and gone on to Macedonia and Achaia, Paul says, as you well know, we dealt with you one by one. One by one. That our work or our job or our profession and how we go about it, it adds credibility to the ministry. In 2 Thessalonians 3, let me see if I can find that right quick. Seven through ten. And no wonder that's 2 Timothy. Yeah, 3:7-10. Paul is reminding them. He says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat." But And I would ask you that. The Christian that has the heart of God, that's been placed in a unique position in the marketplace, what should be their work ethic? How should they work? What kind of, should they be good employees?
Should be the cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop. Yeah.
God, and, you know, just because the other one is, quote, secular, it's still sovereign from God.
That's right. It's just as much of a calling, isn't it? It really is. You know, I remember 100 years ago when we were, Lonnie and I were approached by the Navigators about praying to, about coming with them. And it was Bob and Nancy Sheffield that we talked to, and we were in Wichita. And they're dear friends of ours to this day. But the question was put to us this way. Have you ever thought about full-time Christian service? And we'd like for you to pray about coming with us. And boy, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we sought counsel and all the rest of it. And one day, just like a bolt out of the blue, the Lord hit me with the idea, and I'm glad He asked the question that way. We are in full-time Christian service. We just happen to be self-supporting. Everybody, as John Crawford would say, we all can't live off the tithe. You know? And that God had called me just as much to the job that I have and have to this day, as I believe Billy Graham was called to his pulpit. It's a calling. And you know, as lay men and women, there are opportunities for ministry. And there's a credibility that we have. And believe me, like in Acts 4, it talks about, you know, He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and so on and so on, pastors and teachers, for the maturing or the perfecting of the saints. That's us. For what reason? For the work of the ministry. We're the ones that are called to the ministry. We get this crazy notion that it's those that are in full-time Christian service that are called to the ministry. That's not true. They're called to equip and help us to do the work of the ministry. Amen? That's right. That's right. And boy, we've got a heavenly calling. high calling. So your work does matter. We earn the right to be heard. It's a platform for ministry. You know, when you think about Peter, do you think of fish? When you think about Jesus, do you think of cabinets? Or do you think of accounting or taxes when you think of Matthew? Or pills when you think of Luke? Or tents when you think of Paul? No. But, you know, like I heard someone say years ago, that if you probably were in the Middle East and you kicked up this piece of canvas down there and you pulled it up and you see it was a tent, and you look on the label and you saw that it was made by Saul of Tarsus, I bet that's a well-made tent, a good tent. But that's not what we remember Paul for. We remember what he gave his life for, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take the principles that you've learned and seek to apply them in your new context. I appreciated Wick and what he was sharing. I hope that came through on the tape. But sharing the word and the study and the scripture memory and so forth of the word of God, quiet time, evangelism, using evangelism as many of you have been trained to do it, like in the dorm and so forth. You can use it in visitation in your church, or where you work, or whatever. But I would advise you too, be careful about witnessing on company time. I wouldn't recommend that you do it unless the Lord is definitely in it. But I'd be real careful about that. Well, and it can happen. It really can. And, you know, it's just... Yeah. That's right. There you go. Yeah. And, you know, it's just wise just to, let's talk about that on our own time, you know, and build those kind of relationships. But when we're working for the man, let's give him his due. Look for people who are ministering effectively and come alongside them. And that's what I would encourage you to do, wherever you are, whatever transition, or what. Because the second part of that question about how are you planning to invest the rest of your life that it will have the greatest impact for Jesus Christ? And the second part of that question is, do you feel that you are as prepared as you need to be in order to accomplish your objective? And some of you may say, yes, I think I have the tools and so forth that I need to be able to carry on. But if you're not quite there yet, I would suggest that you look around for someone that's doing it and ask them for some help. And they'd just be delighted. They'd love to help you. They'd love to help you. I would encourage you, as you look at whatever ministry that you might want to align yourself with, that two things need to be happening. Number one is people need to be coming to Christ. That's God's objective. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He will have all men to be saved. People should be coming to Christ. And secondly, look for lives being changed. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I would encourage you to look for those, at least those two things. And also that you be looking for something, that you be looking for spiritual multiplication. Now, I was on the board of directors here for several years. I'm not any longer for CBMC, this Christian Businessmen's Ministry here in Oklahoma City. And we developed a mission statement that I think is just very powerful. And this is the kind of organization, if you're looking for something to align yourself with, that if they're really doing this, This is somebody you might want to tie in with. And this is it. It says, compelled by Christ's love and empowered by His Spirit, presenting Jesus Christ to every believer, to every individual in the business and professional community of Greater Oklahoma City, developing them to make disciples through four generations and beyond. Now, I want to tell you, that's big enough to give your life to. That's somebody you want to hook up with. Folks, I sure hope. We've got a diverse group and diverse backgrounds here. I hope this has been helpful to you. For some of you younger folks, if you're still in college, I have some things for you that maybe if you wanted to see me afterwards that might help you in developing your resumes or helping you to become more sellable and migrating into the marketplace. For the rest of you, I just hope that it just spurs you on just to keep doing what you're doing.